Hermione Durlor joins me on episode 42. Hermione is a Dutch female chromatic player who grew up to the sound of master jazz player Toots Thielemans. After studying saxophone at the Amsterdam Conservatory, she picked up the chromatic and transitioned over to the harmonica, being her instrument of choice. Her first album was of Brazilian music, and she has gone on to record several jazz albums in her own name. Her most recent album, River Beast, delves into 70s funk. She has appeared as a guest artist on numerous albums and is famous in her native Netherlands for playing the advertisement music for sausages. Hermione won the Spa Harmonica Player of the Year in 2018 and hopes she can inspire other females to pick up the harmonica. Hello, Hermione Durlor, and welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Neil. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you. And you're joining us from beautiful Amsterdam. So you're Dutch, and you're entirely a chromatic player.
Yes, I play mainly chromatic harmonica. I started out on saxophone, but I put it aside because the chromatic harmonica took so much time for me that I quit playing saxophone. And the diatonic, I sometimes play just a little bit. You know, sometimes I need it for a recording or something.
Do you play blues stuff on the diatonic, or do you play more melodic things?
Sometimes a little bit of blues stuff, but it's not really very good. I still have to get into that.
So that decision then about, like you say, dropping the saxophone for the chromatic harmonica, so what led to that and how has that been for you? Hopefully it's turned out great for you, but I imagine in many respects getting work on saxophone is maybe easier than chromatic harmonica, or is that not the case for you?
It's not the case with me. Well, first I had a lot of work on saxophone and I played in this band and we traveled all over the world and I already played some harmonica solos with this band as a feature. But I got more and more jobs on chromatic harmonica here in the Netherlands, mainly with big orchestras, but also with my own bands and a lot of studio work with advertisement and stuff. So it got more and more. So I started to think I could focus on that. It was more special. And besides that, I played sax from when I was 13 or 14. So it was time to do something new also, I think.
Yeah, so do you find that playing the chromatic harmonica makes you quite unique and, like you say, maybe more in demand because it's, you know, there's a lot of saxophone players and not so many good jazz chromatic harmonica players?
Exactly. I thought I had something special to say on this instrument. So, and I just really enjoyed it very much.
And so you studied saxophone at the conservatory in Amsterdam?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And was it at this point you started playing the chromatic harmonica as well?
After I finished this study, I did the jazz department on the conservatory, and just right after my last concert there, I found this chromatic harmonica in the shop, and I was already Toots Thielemans fan, so I was very delighted, and I just started it just for fun, actually.
You mentioned Toots Thielemans there, who, of course, every chromatic player is a massive fan of. So obviously, Netherlands is very sort of closely tied to Belgium. It's a neighbour of the country. So it was Toots, someone that you were, you know, very familiar with in Netherlands as well, as being quite, you know, was he on TV a lot over there?
Yes, he was really playing a lot here in big halls and stuff. And he was giving a lot of concerts here and also playing a lot of tunes for television and film. So everybody knew him here, you know. He's very popular here still.
Yeah, I actually bought a postcard of Toots, like a little poster, like in a postcard of him playing at the North Sea Jazz Festival, which was a festival in Netherlands,
yes.
Which I bought from Amsterdam, coincidentally. So, yeah, he's, yes. So the North Sea Jazz Festival doesn't happen anymore, does it?
Well, not this year because of Corona. But it happens still every year. So last year it was cancelled. It was a big problem. This year it's cancelled again, but there are some concerts in Rotterdam taking place. But yes, the festival is still a very large festival. I played there a couple of times also.
Oh, okay, excellent. So what got you interested in the harmonica? Had you always listened to a harmonica and were, you know, a fan of the sound?
Yes, I already listened to the Stielemans on my high school. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it. And I also really was a big fan of Stevie Wonder. So I was always wondering how you could make this sound on a harmonica. But then the saxophone was taken more seriously in that time. So I always also searched out solos of Toots Thielemans on saxophone and stuff. Yeah, and I had lots of records already of Toots at my home before I really started to play this instrument myself. So.
Any favorite songs of Toots?
Yes, I like the recording of Killer Joe with the Metropole Orchestra. The Metropole Orchestra is an orchestra from Holland also. And there is this record, I had it on vinyl, and it's called Life at the Boerenhoeve. It's like this little place somewhere in the middle of the Netherlands. And Toots gave a concert there in the 70s, and this is just a very beautiful recording I really liked, so yeah.
So what about that, you know, moving across from the saxophone to the chromatic harmonica and playing jazz? Was that something you were able to sort of move across and use what you'd learned on the saxophone quite easily, or was it quite different playing the chromatic?
Playing the chromatic, it's completely different from a saxophone, obviously, because you don't use your hands, actually, and you just make a sound, and you inhale, of course, to make a sound. I could use the theory I had learned, so I knew how to study, you know. First, I studied all the scales and stuff, and I knew how to make my own exercises. But as far as the technique of playing the instrument, I had to find it out myself. I just listened a lot of Toots, and I went to his concerts to see how he does it.
Yeah, I think the saxophone is seen as being an instrument that you can play quite fluidly, whereas the chromatic, maybe that's a bit of a challenge, isn't it, to play fluidly on the chromatic and to play the auto. And so what about the difference between the two instruments in that way?
You can play very fast on the saxophone very easily, so it was frustrating to not be able to do that. Mm-hmm. But you have to learn to find ways to make one note bend into the other. And of course you have to play fast to do that. You know, you have to be able to play fast so you can sort of make the jump between the different tones. You can make it very fast so you don't hear this, the gap between the notes. So you have a little gap. You have to sort of make it very, very small, and then it sounds fluent.
I believe you you played with Toots at some point, didn't you?
Yes. In the 90s, I had a concert in Brussels in a beautiful hotel, and Toots and his wife, Huguette, came over to have lunch and to hear me. They were invited by the boss of the hotel. So he was enjoying it very much, and then I asked him, of course, if he wanted to play something. And I was there with a Brazilian band, so he played some Brazilian tunes. Mm-hmm. He was a very, very kind person.
So great, yeah. So you went on from there, and I think you recorded your first album in 1997, is that right?
That's right. Sozinhos. It's Brazilian, of course. And I recorded it with a Brazilian guitar player and a Brazilian band that lives in the Netherlands, some Brazilian and some people from Uruguay. Yeah, I enjoyed it very much to do this. I always played a lot of Brazilian music already, so I was familiar with this kind of music.
Yeah, so is that something that, I always say, obviously Toots did a couple of albums, didn't he, where he played Brazilian music. So yeah. Is that something you're interested in from that start? Obviously that early stage where you were recording?
Also, but I listened to already to Brazilian music before I knew Toots. Mm-hmm. But I think the harmonica fits so well for this music. So that's amazing. It's so easy. Yeah.
Is that the rhythms of it you think work well on the chromatic?
I don't know if it's because of the rhythms, because you have to feel them. And of course, you can play it on other instruments as well. But maybe the sound goes very well with guitar and stuff. And it's very high and... I'm not sure why this is. Maybe because they all also use flute a lot, you know, and harmonica is in the same register as flute.
So, how did you come to recording this Brazilian band? This is your first album. Did you record this in the Netherlands?
Yes, in a studio with a recording engineer I still work with. Later became the sound engineer for Toots Thielemans, which was really a coincidence, by the way. But yeah.
He was trained with you, obviously.
Yeah.
So you were still playing around the Netherlands and then around Europe at this time, were you?
Okay, yeah. I played not so much in other countries, more maybe Belgium or Germany. But right after that, I was asked for this by this band in the Netherlands. And it is sort of an avant-garde band, but also with jazz, a lot of jazz influences. And I became a member of this band and I played mainly alto saxophone. But I kept on playing the harmonica at my house or just, you know, practicing. And I had some solos in this band also. But, you know, this was a good job. So I stayed there for 12 years in this job. And we traveled all over the world. So
you did some more recordings then. I think you did an album called I Am Jazz.
It was called I Say Jazz.
I Say Jazz, yeah.
And it was... with a piano player and a bass player. It was their project, and I joined them. So it's not really under my name, but mm-hmm. Yes, these were just very good jazz musicians in Holland, and it gave me a lot of experience to try stuff out. And...
And this was all on the chromatic, was it?
Yeah.
So do you still play the saxophone now?
No, not anymore. Not anymore, because it's with the embouchure, it's difficult. And also, you know, at some point I decided only to make albums with a harmonica. So I try to, you know, get better and, you know, get a higher level and really working on that. So
I think a lot of harmonica players kind of worry that, you know, the instrument isn't, particularly in jazz, isn't mainstream enough to be taken maybe seriously or that be in demand.
Yeah.
You don't find that again. You find that, you know, that uniqueness to the sound again, it gets you the work.
Yes, I think so. But at first also I was worried, so I didn't quit saxophone for a long time. But I could build up my harmonica career besides that, you know, on the side. So when that worked out very well, then I could have the courage to stop with the saxophone, although I miss the instrument sometimes. But you know, you have to choose if you really want to focus on something.
And you don't sing at all, do you?
No, of course, only for fun, you know. But yeah. Not professionally. It's just another profession, I think.
Okay, and so you've done this second album, as we say. During this time, were you starting to get other session work?
During that time, I was asked to play these advertisements in Holland. And one of the advertisements is turned out to be the most famous tune on Dutch television. So I played this, and I think they used the music for 20 years already now.
This is to advertise some sausages, is that right?
It's true, yeah. It's true. And if I play it, people will always recognize it. Everybody. If I go into a cab, you hear this music. So
how does it feel to be the sound of sausages in the Netherlands?
Yeah, it's weird. It's not only sausages, it's also soup and stuff.
Okay, yeah. I assume you're not a vegetarian.
I'm not.
So great, but no, great to get that exposure. So did you do that quite early on?
Yeah, I recorded in 2001, so it's exactly 20 years ago.
Wow, so did that get you a lot of exposure then, and it really helped you know, with your career?
Yeah, some people still think it's Toots Thielemans. You know, I always have to tell that it was me, and so. But yeah, it gave me a lot of exposure and still gives me a lot of exposure.
Fantastic. Yeah, always great to go on the television. And then was it your first solo album or the first album in your name in 2005, Crazy Clock?
Yeah. I recorded this with a friend in New York. He's a very good bass player and guitar player. It's a home recording, but he has a very good studio. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to make, and I still like it. I still play music with him also. He's also on my last recording, this bass player. That's Tony Scherer.
Yeah, and so have you spent much time in New York?
I just go there regularly. Not now, of course, but I've been there a lot. I've played also there with Dutch bands in New York. So I recorded this album with Tony in 2005. And my last recording I made in 2019. We also mixed in New York and we did some overdubs with violins and stuff.
So New York, of course, has got a great jazz scene. So is that something you've managed to tap into?
Not really, but I have some connections there. But still, I would like to go there longer and go to sessions or something. But yeah. I know some people there, yeah.
Are there many chromatic harmonica players there?
More and more. Of course, you have Grégoire Marin living there. Yeah, Yvonik Vrede, yeah. And you have Hendrik Merkens, who is already working for a long time. And yeah, some new young people also.
This Crazy Clock album, a lot of it was written by the bass player, wasn't it? And this has kind of got this kind of African beat on there and on one of the songs. And
we did a lot of covers. So this is a cover of Ali Farka Touré, you know, from Senegal, I think. And yeah, we just found covers that are not really familiar, but we just gave them a twist, you know.
Your next album was in 2007, Soundbite. Mm-hmm. So was this kind of a bit of a homage to Toots, Man Bites Harmonica?
Yeah, a little bit. I thought maybe I can call it Woman Bites Harmonica. But that was a little bit too much. So I thought Soundbite, like a sort of a reference to this album of Toots. And it was recorded with a big band. And it was recorded by the same person that wrote this advertisement. So this very successful advertisement was made at a studio. And he decided to make this whole big band album with me. So it was also a lot of experience for me.
Yeah, so as you say, it's with a big band and it's all these big band arrangements. And so, what's it like playing in a big band? That little small harmonica with all that big band sound.
I thought because we had some recordings of Toots also with the Metropole Big Band. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a challenge to make the arrangements in a certain way that the harmonica still gets a lot of space.
Because it was within a big band, were you playing sort of written pieces or were you just improvising?
I did a lot of improvising, of course, but only the melodies are written out.
Sure. And where was that one recorded?
In Amsterdam, in the studio.
And how did that come about, with the big band and you know, recording the album with them?
I just talked to the man of the advertisement and he thought, let's make a kind of a 70s atmosphere big band harmonica, you know, album. We hired some arrangers to make this different kind of arrangements. So we recorded it there. And afterwards, I was a guest at a lot of big bands, and I took these arrangements to the big bands.
There's a song on there called Holland, which is a kind of traditional Dutch sort of sound. It starts out with, I think it's a harmonica with an accordion, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is the advertisement, everybody knows.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So at the beginning of it. And then and then it goes further away into a jazz arrangement.
Yeah, no, a great album. And so in 2012, you did another album in your name called Glassfish.
Mm-hmm.
This is quite different, isn't it? It's quite a sort of modern jazz sound, this one.
Yeah, I thought let's try to make my own band and write some own pieces, you know. I think I wrote one or two on this. So I wanted to do more modern jazz, also to do the gigs I really liked, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was very happy with these musicians because, you know, Jesse van Ruller on guitar is, you know, one of the best guitar players I know, and he played here as a guest. You have the bass player that I really like, and also we use a different instrument, the hang. It's kind of the hang. It's this special instrument. It sounds a little bit like bells. And with this band I played on the North Sea Jazz Festival. Yeah, we recorded this in Germany with my sound engineer, beautiful studio in a farm.
There's lots of space, isn't there, for the harmonica? A real place for you to just play.
Yeah, I thought let's not do too much drums because that can be a little bit crowdy, you know.
Mm-hmm. There's a song on there called Glassfish. Seems to have a bit of a water theme in some of your album titles. Is there any particular reason?
True, yeah, it's weird. It's not on purpose, actually, but I like to write this African-influenced music. It's a sort of African song, Glassfish. I just had this image of like a tropical sea, you know, with these almost invisible fishes or something. I'm like, yeah, it's just an association, you know.
The song Glassfish, is that a song that you composed?
Yes, I composed this, yeah.
So how do you go about composing a song? Are you doing that on the chromatic or do you use another instrument to help you do that as well?
First, I sit at the piano and I see if I can find nice chord changes. And sometimes I just have a groove or a very simple chord. And then I play some melodies with a chromatic harmonica. I write the melodies from my harmonica, but sitting behind the piano, you know, like...
So how is your piano playing?
Well, not so good. Not so good. But of course I can find chords, you know, and I can play a little bit, yeah.
I think that's a big thing, particularly with jazz, isn't it? Do you need that second instrument, particularly an instrument which plays chords, like, you know, obviously Toots played guitar to a good standard as well. So do you see that as being a really critical thing in your learning? But I mean, I guess when you were studying saxophone, you had to have a second instrument, and was that piano for you?
Yeah, it was piano, and of course you needed to understand the harmony, you know, to just check out and see how it could sound. And, you know, I'm still working on that too. You keep on learning, and on the conservatory, I learned to play the chords a little bit and to accompany people a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And to get new ideas. And if I'm starting to compose songs, sometimes I play a lot of other songs to check out if I find some nice chord changes I might use or something.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people who play, particularly the harmonica in this case, you know, the thought that you need to learn a second instrument is quite, you know, it's daunting, yeah, because you have to spend a lot of time playing another instrument. And you know, so you think that brings definite value, though. You think it's something pretty critical, particularly playing jazz.
I think it's very, it's really necessary, particularly if you want to write tunes, you know. For me, writing my own tunes is sort of necessary to to go further into music. I really enjoy it, and I really like to try out new tunes. And of course, you don't always want to play tunes of other people. Not me, anyway.
But when you're coming up with a melody, so you do that on the harmonica?
Yeah, most of the time, yeah. Because also, you know, there's not much written for harmonica. And if you, of course, you play things that are good sounding on harmonica, you know, and you can use stuff, you can use little lines that are easy on a harmonica.
So do you come up with the melodies on the harmonica before you would put chords to it on the piano or the piano?
Well, it's more going back and forth.
Okay, so and then your next album, 3 years later, I think in 2015, called Welling, which is done with a jazz string quartet called Zap 4.
Yeah, they are very popular here in Holland. At first, I thought, let's make an album with a string quartet and maybe a piano or a bass. Mm-hmm. And I had a more conservative idea, you know, like playing standards or something.
Yeah.
Then I met this string quartet, and they are really original. They play own tunes and very strange arrangements. And I enjoyed it so much that I thought, let's make something really original, you know, and play with them. So this was really a cooperation. They brought a lot of arrangements and songs, and I brought, I think, one. But I had some other ideas that we made arrangements from.
No, I really love the album. It's quite quirky.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Lots of great stuff. Una Volta.
Yeah, that's my song, yeah.
Oh, that's your song, is it? Oh, no, that's one I really liked on the album particularly.
Oh, great.
There's a song called Welling. Where does that come from?
Welling is a bar in Amsterdam.
Okay.
This band was playing there a lot. So it's the alto violin player. He wrote this song. He writes a lot of songs and arrangements. So one he contributed to Welling.
Still play with that band at all?
No, they quit playing together a couple of years ago. Of course, I saw also we did a couple of concerts and then we moved on to next things. So, but you never know. Maybe we'll play one day.
And then in 2016, you did another album called Living Here with a pianist and composer.
Yeah, Rembrandt Frerichs. We started working together in 2014. And he has a sort of a same musical background as me, also listening a lot to Toots Thielemans, but also listening a lot to Baroque music, you know, because I grew up with Baroque music with my parents. So we had some similarities, and we made a whole repertoire of our own songs, but also some standards we just adapted, you know. And so we did a couple of concerts for a couple of years, and then we decided to make this album and to invite this cello player as a sort of a classical line or, you know, a counter voice to the harmonica. Yeah, so that was also a lot of fun to make. We all recorded these albums, like Welling, but also this one again in Germany.
In the same studio?
Same studio, yes.
You talk about the studio, so a question, we'll get onto gear a little bit later, but when you're recording the chromatic harmonica, what equipment are you using for that? So what microphone, for example?
I just use a Shure SM58.
Okay, so you're holding that when you're recording, are you?
Yeah, okay. And that's all. Mm-hmm. But the recording engineer is this friend of mine who worked for Toots Thielemans 10 years. So he exactly knows how to record a chromatic harmonica.
So did Toots also record with a SM58?
Yeah, mostly.
Okay, because it's interesting. A lot of people would use like a large condenser microphone, wouldn't they? Which they would stand off when recording. Obviously, I know Toots played an SM58 when he was playing live. But yeah, it's interesting to hear you use that to record as well.
I don't know if he used that always, but in his last recordings, he definitely did.
Yeah, and you do always use an SM58 when you're recording.
Yeah.
So don't you find that you get quite a lot of noise on the microphone when you're playing that way, particularly in the recording, that maybe, you know, it wouldn't be so noticed in a live performance, but when recording, it picks up a lot of, you know, knocking the microphone, breathing noises and things?
It does, but I think my sound engineer removes it all.
Okay.
Oh, a lot of it, anyway.
Yeah. So he's really got that down. Oh, that's really interesting, yeah. That
you... On the other hand, you know, I'm holding the microphone before the harmonica, but not against the harmonica, so you don't hear bumps or something, you know.
Okay, so you're sort of putting your finger between
It's a little bit of distance, of course. And still also because with the other instruments, you don't hear so much the noises anymore.
Sounds like you've got a great recording engineer there. So, So this Living Here album, as you say, there's lots of great piano on there. And there's this thing that the chromatic harmonica works so well with the piano, doesn't it? I think they're both quite gentle sounding instruments, aren't they, which just complement each other so well.
Yes, I think it's a beautiful combination. And of course, you have to find the piano player that suits you. He's also playing not too much, you know, like giving me space and stuff, yeah.
Is that something you do yourself when you're, you know, practicing at home with a piano? Do you sort of record yourself parts, or do you even play the chromatic at the same time as the piano?
No, I don't do that. Some people can. It's very amazing. Like Antonio Serrano, I think he plays.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I play a chord with my left hand and I try out a melody, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's very basic.
Got a great song on there, which is a samba one, so another sort of Brazilian theme one on there, which is a Samba de Umbre.
That's really a Brazilian song written by Guinga. Mm-hmm. That's very well-known Brazilian musician. And, well, we changed it, of course, a little bit. We didn't play it really very Brazilian, but we played it more like a wild song. And it is with Jim Black on drums. And Jim Black is a very famous modern jazz or even avant-garde drummer.
And then your most recent album, which you alluded to earlier on, is called River Beast, another water-themed. And it's got a picture of you on the album cover playing the harmonica underwater.
Yeah, we really went to a swimming pool just close to Amsterdam. And I went there with this photographer and we could make photos there for like an hour. So we dived underwater and he had this underwater camera. So it was a lot of fun to do.
So why the title River Beast?
Well, I just wrote a couple of songs about my childhood. I went with my family, my cousins, a lot to France, and we were swimming in all these rivers, and we had a great time. So I wrote a couple of songs inspired by that, and one of them is called River Beast.
That song has got a really sort of languid feel about it. It's the rhythm kind of judders along, doesn't it? I guess it's trying to get that river beast sort of feel about it.
It's also, you know, Herbie Hancock wrote this Swamp Rat song, and it's a little bit inspired by that. It's also a little bit inspired by groovy 70s music. My whole childhood was, of course, in the 70s. On this album is drummer Steve Gadd, famous for his beautiful rhythms in a lot of 70s songs. Mm-hmm. So this was my whole, goal, to make songs that would fit really for this drummer.
Yeah, it is very funky, isn't it? And it's great to hear the harmonica in that setting. And I think that is another setting that it really suits, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's not really done so much, I thought also.
Yeah, but the question I really want to know is what happened to the harmonica that you put underwater in the swimming pool?
Well, it's not playable anymore. It was an old harmonica. I have many harmonicas here that are just a little bit out of tune. You know, I keep them to see if I can take something from it.
So it was an old harmonica.
Yeah, it's ruined.
So people listening should not try to replicate that at home and put their harmonicas underwater, particularly chromatic harmonicas.
Yeah.
Imagine the wind servers didn't like that very much.
Yeah, it's completely ruined.
So could you play the harmonica underwater, or was that impossible?
Yes, I heard sounds. Yeah, it is possible though. Yeah,
great. You say this is quite a funky album, and there's quite a lot of nice, strong melodic lines on the chromatic that you're playing. You know, so I understand that you and the other band members composed pretty much all the songs on this album. Did you?
Yes, I think there's maybe two covers. I don't know. I think I wrote four or five songs. There's a cover of an American band. It's called Doctor's Wind. So there's a cover of Earl Randall. It's If We Can Trust Each Other.
Yeah, and that song is with a singer, isn't it? Alan Clark. Yeah, and yeah, so that's quite, it's almost quite a soul feel about it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you released that song sort of as a single as well, haven't you?
Yes, I released it as a single because Alain Clark is also a very, very well-known singer here in Holland. Mm-hmm. I was playing with his band in all kinds of big theaters halls. And then I thought maybe he wants to play on my album as well. Mm-hmm. So, and he said yes. So this was very nice.
There's a song in there called Song for My Sister. Was that one that you wrote for your sister?
Yeah. My sister, she's a very happy person, and I decided to write this song for her. Also, The Road to Gargonza is a song for my cousin. It's about us going to this little village in Italy. And So Long Redhead is also for my cousin. You know, Zombie Chicken is also for my cousin.
The same cousin?
No, it's a different cousin. So that's a little bit the whole album.
So I hope your family like this album then.
Yeah, they really liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, with all the songs devoted to them. Really enjoyed all your albums. The more recent ones, I think, you know, are getting better and better.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope so too. For myself, I like the last album the best. Also, the musicians I made this, you know, they're all really great. All American musicians from New York. Of course, they're very good musicians everywhere, but I chose these musicians because they understood what I wanted to do and to do this kind of style of music, and they were so dedicated, and it was really a big pleasure.
So you say you like this album the best of the ones you've done. So does that mean you're sort of, you've gone away from jazz more? It's not because you haven't done all jazz albums by any means, have you? But you've definitely had a sort of jazz, you know, jazz leaning in most of them, haven't you? Is this, you know, does this see you going a little bit away from jazz or?
Yeah, that's true. Because I'm planning another album like this, but then with Dutch musicians. I just really like sort of groove kind of music. You call it Americana, actually. I like a mixture of sort of African style and Americana, actually. But I will always play a lot of solos. I will always improvise. So in that aspect, I will stay to play jazz in a way, like not really jazz, but improvise.
And a lot of your albums are mostly instrumentals, aren't they? There are a few vocals on this album, for example, but mostly instrumental. So, I mean, how do you find that goes for just the success of the album? Because, you know, there's a perception that people like to hear vocals. Yeah, although personally, I much prefer instrumental albums, but most people prefer vocals, don't they? So is that's a decision on your part to do instrumental albums or because that's what you prefer? Or, you know, and how about that for the success of the albums?
I always wanted to make instrumental albums because I listen to it myself a lot. Of course, it's difficult to sell, and I'm not thinking of selling the album in the first place, you know? Yeah. Maybe I should, but
nobody buys albums anymore. Everyone streams them on
there. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Spotify and this like, don't they? So, yes, it's that kind of market's gone to some extent, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. But I'm planning to make an album in the Netherlands with some well-known singers in the Netherlands that are in my kind of music. I plan to do an album with like 6 vocal numbers and 6 instrumentals and then, you know, make a combination of that.
Getting the chromatic harmonica works really well, accompanying singers, doesn't it? And a song you've released recently called Love Came to Me, you did with a singer called Kate Fenner, yeah? So how do you approach playing with a singer?
Of course, it's very nice to give the singer space and then, you know, make sort of a duet. That's how I see it. I'm not really accompanying the singer, but it's more working together and having a duet.
Going back to this conversation on making albums. So obviously making albums costs quite a lot of money if you do it well and you get great musicians and you're hiring studios and things. So is it something that you feel you need to do to tour and to get the bands together to tour? Do you think that's the main driver these days to make albums?
Yeah, one hand it is. On the other hand, I also just like to make an album and I like concept albums, you know, like albums that tell a story. And my experience is that if I make an album, I will get work out of it, but not necessarily with that band. So it's a broader perspective. I get attention, I get media attention, I will be asked by other people, you know, and I can play this music also with a smaller band or with Dutch musicians.
Yeah, so it gets you that exposure, as you say. So yeah. It's important to do it, yeah.
Yeah, there is. And like this album, River Beast, I will make vinyl from this and I will sell maybe more than a CD.
So yeah, but like you say, if you want to make a kind of themed album, a concept album, then, you know, it's great to do that too.
And that helps me with writing songs. If I have a theme or, you know, it's easier for me to make songs.
That's your albums now, and you think about making some more. But you played with lots of other people. We touched on and one famous harmonica band who you've recorded with is Fata Morgana, who are also a Dutch band.
Yeah,
I've had Fata Morgana on the podcast, and we've been through that album of theirs. So Fata Morgana and Friends is the album you're on with them, isn't it?
Yes, this was amazing. It was so much fun, and it is so good to you know, meet colleagues. Rob Jans is a very good chromatic harmonica player, mm-hmm. Very virtuoso also, and. Yeah, they play all kinds of music.
Yeah, great. And then you play with other people. A guy called Chris Beckers, you played on his album.
Yes, he's a great guitar player from Amsterdam.
And with a singer called Britta Maria.
Oh, yeah, I recorded with her. She's doing a lot of French chansons. And and I recently recorded also with a Greek singer, Irina. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow I'm going to do a recording with a German band called Coasson. And this is a flamenco tune. Completely new.
So, and you've also played with Al Jarreau.
Yes, this is a long time ago, in 2000, I think. I was a guest in a Dutch television program of a piano player, Cor Bakker. I still play with him. And Al Jarreau was a guest, and he had this song with a harmonica solo on it. So I was asked to do that, which was great.
And you played with various orchestras as well. So you played in the Concert Bowl in Amsterdam, where I've been myself. So you played in various orchestras, yeah. So is this, what, as a guest soloist, or are you playing classical music here? Or?
Yes, I was soloist, and it was mainly film music. Yeah. So I played a lot of film music that Toots played. Also, they made arrangements of this advertisement tune I did. I played it with the orchestra. I'm going to play the film music again this November in the Ziggo Dome, which is the biggest hall in the Netherlands. But that's with the Metropole, and we play, of course, the man with the harmonica, which is just only 3 notes, as you know. But I also play some other things of other movies.
You mentioned there you've done various film soundtracks. There was a song, a film called Strangely in Love.
this is where I did some lines on harmonica, and I did some children's movies. I did some music for that in 2000, but it's already a long time ago. And I played the music with a nature film about Amsterdam, about all the animals that are living in the city.
Is that called The Wild Stad? Is that that one?
Yeah, that's called The Wild Stad, yeah. And I also played a classical piece, a small group of people of the Concertgebouw Orchestra. I think it's Vaughan Williams we played.
Played numerous festivals around in different countries. You mentioned the North Sea Jazz Festival already, of course. You played in Cairo, played in Trondheim. Yeah, so you're playing festivals. And you're supposed to be, you're set to play in the UK later this year, yeah, for the UK listeners?
Yes, I play in Ambleside on a Thursday, 2nd of September. And I play in the Ribble Valley Festival. It's 29 October. I also play the 28th or 27th on the Ulverston Festival. And on the 31st of October, again in Ambleside.
You played a harmonica composition in an orchestra written by, is it a German?
Yeah, he's a composer from Jordania. And he moved a long time ago to the south of Germany. And he's a very well-known composer in modern classical music.
He wrote a piece specifically for the harmonica, did he?
Yeah, he wrote a piece actually for me. Yeah. One day I just got an email from him that he would like to try to write something. He had also this festival. It's the Donaueschingen Festival in Germany. So we could do the premiere there. So he wrote me 2 years before that. So first he wrote this tune and he talked to me about what was possible on the harmonica. He even tried to play it a little bit himself just to get to know the instrument. Well, he wrote this beautiful piece. So I was very happy. Of course, it's very difficult with a lot of big jumps, you know, and double notes and stuff. And it's really modern, but I think it's melodic too.
Also, I've done some teaching of the harmonica at the Conservatory of Rotterdam.
Yeah, been teaching there for 4 years on the more the technical part. So I had a couple of students that were studying jazz on chromatic harmonica, and they had lessons from a trumpet player, and I did like the technique, so etudes and scales and stuff.
So, do you do any more teaching?
Only at home, just some private students, but not much.
And in 2018, you won the Bernie Bray Harmonica Player of the Year.
Yeah, that was such a big honor.
A question now that I'm sure you probably get asked a lot, which is why aren't there more female harmonica players, and maybe how do you think we can get more female harmonica players playing?
It's difficult because, of course, I don't know why this is. It's also in the jazz world, there are not many instrumentalists. There are not many female drummers or female bass players. Or there are more and more female saxophone players. It could be a role model could help. So I hope to inspire other women to try out this beautiful instrument.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there are lots of great female musicians, although they tend to be more classical on the side.
Yeah, because maybe the classical musicians are encouraging women more or something. I think it will develop and become better. Of course, the jazz scene was a kind of macho scene still. When I was young, to go to bands or play in bands, they were all guys, of course, and you have to adapt. And also on workshops or jam sessions, you have to be more outgoing. You have to a little bit fight for your place, you know? Yeah. So if you're not persistent enough, maybe you stop. You know, if I think of myself, I just did it and I try to get my place in these jam sessions and stuff. And but it's difficult.
Well, it's great to see. I mean, like you say, it's appealing for the females in the audience as well to see a female player, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. It can be inspiring and just, you know, yeah.
A question I ask each time, Hermione, is if you had 10 minutes to practice, what would you spend those 10 minutes doing?
I would practice 5 minutes of scales, and I would then, you know, go over all the 12 scales either in major or melodic minor. Although the first thing I would do is play a long note or a couple of long notes, listen to your sound, then do the some scales, like or all 12 scales. And then 10 minutes, I would play songs. I divide my time always in thirds. So one third is technique. One third is playing chord changes and go over new tunes with chord changes. And in the last third, I really play a whole tune with a solo and I try to play a beautiful thing like I would be on stage.
Yeah, and you do that with backing tracks or without?
Sometimes with backing tracks, but lately I'm doing this very difficult thing like just putting on the metronome and only play with the metronome and keeping the one on the good place, you know. It's harsh, but yeah. It's very good.
Yeah, it's a good way instead of, because I practice usually songs with backing tracks, and yeah, you kind of rely on the backing track for your timing and things, don't you?
But yeah.
When you do it with a metronome, yeah, you much more have to be much more disciplined, yeah.
It's very disciplined, and sometimes it's difficult, and I just want to relax, and I put on a nice backing track.
Yeah.
But my experience is that I moved forward by doing this with the metronome. I really improved, I think.
And your sound, you know, I think it's been described as having a rich lyrical sound, effortless fluency, gentle lyrical. I think it does sum up your sound nice. You get a very nice tone. It's quite gentle and, you know, that lyrical is very accurate. You know, have you worked on your sound in a particular way to get that?
Well, yes, I just did a lot of playing long notes from soft to loud and back again.
Mm-hmm.
And also to really hear where the sound can be more round and warm. And I adapt my embouchure in ways that I get the sound. So it's a lot of listening to yourself and adapt how you play and relaxing the embouchure and still making a good sound, you know, and having a lot of air inside of your mouth.
So do you record yourself a lot when you're practicing to listen back to yourself?
Not so much, but a little. I just listen to myself while playing. Of course, I did a lot of studio work, so I listened a lot to myself in the studio. But also, I spend a lot of time with bending and influencing the tone, making waves or not, you know, bending it down or not, you know. Also, listened a lot to violin players, like classical violin players. They have so much nuance and subtlety. Yeah, but it all has to do with how do you make the sound? And do you play it softer or louder? Do you bend it or not, you know?
Yeah, so you obviously spent a lot of time thinking about getting your sound. So we'll move on to the last section now. So last section talking about gear. So talking about what harmonic you play, I believe you play the Toots models, do you?
Yeah, I still play the hard bopper. I started playing on the mellotone a long time ago, but the hard bopper is now good for me. And
they're the ones I play as well. I mean, I do have other ones, but they're the ones I do prefer. Definitely the Toots ones. I think they're still great, aren't they? I think the one downside with them, of course, is that they don't have screwed-on replates. So, you know, they've got nails and things. So I really wish that Hohner would make a model with screwed-on replates.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, like a wooden one, like the wooden body, but then with changeable replates.
Yeah, which they're doing, of course, with their 270 models now. So I really wish they'd do with the... So you're still playing that one. Do you not play any other models of Chromatic then?
I tried out the Suzuki, which is also very good. Still, the sound didn't appeal to me as much as the hard bopper. And I played like the Ace of Hohner, good one too. And this other model, the Super 64.
So do you play much 16-hole?
No, I play 12-hole. But sometimes if I need a 16-hole, I play the Super 64. Okay, it's also very good. But I don't know why I still want to play the hard bopper. It's, for me, it's the most subtle one. So it's about subtlety that I'm looking for.
Yeah, and you mentioned embouchure earlier on. So what embouchure do you like to use?
Pucker.
Okay, so all pucker then?
Yeah, all pucker, only if I have to play double notes for these classical pieces, of course. I use tongue blocking.
Equipment-wise, what amplification do you like to use?
Now I'm using a Fishman amplifier with a SM58.
So do you use the Fishman for most of your live playing then? You don't use a PA? Do you mic up the small amp?
If I know the sound engineer or I can bring my own sound engineer, I will use the PA. But otherwise, I bring my Fishman amp and we just plug it in, you know.
And do you use any effects pedals with that?
I just use a little bit of the reverb of this amp.
Do you know what amp that actually is? Which model of Fishman?
I use the Loudbox Mini.
So that's obviously, it's a small amp then?
It's a very small amp, yeah.
Yeah, and an acoustic sounding amp. We obviously talked about you using the SM58. Just, is it one with a volume control or just...
Yeah, it's a volume control. It's from the company Blows Me Away.
Greg Heumann, yeah.
Yeah, Greg Heumann, yeah. I really like them.
I know he makes the body shorter, doesn't he? And obviously puts the volume control in it as well.
Yeah, so it's a little bit easier to have it in your hand. And also, I put it on 3/4. And then if the drummer goes very loud or the band, I can put it a little bit louder.
Yeah. And what about any future plans that you've got now? See, things are opening up now. You're starting to get out there now playing. What have you got coming up?
I had already a couple of concerts. I had a project about plants. So I wrote all kinds of songs about plants. And it was inspired by The Secret Life of Plants by Stevie Wonder. And so I'm doing a couple of concerts with that. And then later I will play some Brazilian music with a Brazilian band. I will play this modern classical piece again in September here in Holland with a big orchestra. And I will do the evening of the film music also with the Metropole Orchestra in November. And of course, the concerts in UK, I'm really looking forward.
So most of your work at the moment's in the Netherlands, is it?
Most in the Netherlands, yes.
Yeah, I'm obviously travel's still difficult at the moment, isn't it?
So that's very difficult. Sense. Yeah,
but obviously, hopefully, as you say, later in the year, we have to come across the UK and other places. Yeah,
hopefully. Yeah.
So, what did you do with yourself over the pandemic time? Were you busy playing and writing things, or did you have a break from music? Or
first, I had a little break, 2 months, and then I started practicing again. And then I did a lot of live streams, also here in the Netherlands, but also some international live streams, also for Spa. Yeah, I did a lot of also paid live streams here in the Netherlands, which was great.
Great, yeah. So you managed to get some income that way, yeah.
Also a lot of recordings, like a guest with people's albums.
And were you recording those at home or going to a studio for that?
Mostly to my sound engineer, the same one that was sound engineer of Toots. He lives a couple of streets away from here. So I did a lot of recordings there.
So thanks so much for joining me today, Hermione Durlow.
Yes, it was a pleasure. Thank you, Neil.
That's it for episode 42. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks once again for Hermione producing such beautiful music for us all to enjoy. She's really doing it for the sisters. Now let's hear more ladies playing that chromatic harmonica and diatonic. So it's just over to Hermione to tell us a long story short.